The Worm Ouroboros by E.R. Edison. Chapter 24. A King in Crothering. How the Lord Corineus would take unto himself a queen in Demonland, and made him a bridal feast thereto. Wherein is a notable instance how unto them which the gods do love, helpers are raised up and comforters, even in the midst of their enemies. That same evening Corineus let dight a banquet in the chamber of the moon for some 20 of his chiefest men, a very pompous and kingly entertainment, and conceiving that he might now very well avail to accomplish his pleasure touching the lady Mevrian, he sent her word by one of his gentlemen that she should attend him there. And she, sending answer to tell him gently all else in the castle was at his service, but for herself she was quite fordone, and greatly desired rest and sleep that night, he fell a-laughing immoderately, and a-saying, "A most unseasonable desire, and one that smacketh besides of mockery, since well she knoweth what this night I do intend. Wish her to repair to us, and that right swiftly, lest I fetch her." To that message sent her, came she, in a short while, herself, to answer, dressed all in funereal black, her gown and close-fitting bodice of black sendal, slashed with black sarsenet, and about her throat a chain of sapphires, darkly lustrous. Very nobly she carried her head, framed with the piled and braided masses of her night-dark hair. Her face showed pale indeed, but unruffled and undismayed. All, at her coming in, stood up to greet her, and Corineus said, "Lady, thou didst change thy mind quickly, since thou didst first affirm thou never wouldst yield up Crothering unto me." "As quickly as I might, my lord," said she, "for I saw I was wrong." He abode silent a minute, his eyes like amorous surfeiters overrunning her fair form. Then said he, "Thou didst wish to purchase safety for thy friends?" She answered, "Yes." "For thine own self," said Corineus, "it had made no jot of difference. Be witness unto me the omnisciency of the gods, whereunto is nothing concealable. I mean thee only good." "My lord," said she, "I embrace the comfort of that word, and know that good to me is mine own freedom, not conditions of any man's choosing." Whereto he, being well tippled with wine, framing the most lovely countenance he might, made answer, "I doubt not but to-night, madam, thou shalt be well advised to choose that highest condition, and till to-day unknown, which I shall proffer thee, to be queen of Demonland." She thanked him in her best manner, but said she was minded to forego that supposedly pleasing eminence. "How?" said he. "Is it too little a thing for thee? Or is it, as I think, that thou laughest?" She said, "My lord, it should little beseem me that am of the seed of men of war, since long generations, to trap my mind with the false shows of a greatness that is gone. Yet I pray you forget not this. The dominion of the demons hath used to soar a pitch above common royalty, and, like the eye of day, regarded kings from above. And for this style of queen thou offerest me, I say unto thee, it is an addition I desire not, who am sister unto him that writ that writing above the gate, that all ye had tasted the truth thereof, had he been here to meet with you. Corineus said.
True it is, some have outbragged the world, yet I ere this have used them like knaves. My jackboot hath known things in Carcy, madam, I'll not gall thy heart to tell thee of.
But perceiving a great low of disdainful anger blaze in Mevrian's eye,
"Cry you mercy," said he, "incomparable lady, this was beside the mark. I would not sully our new friendship with memories of— Ho there! Chair beside me for the queen."
But Mevrian made them set it on the far side of the board, and there sat her down, saying, "I pray thee, my lord Corineus, unsay that word. Thou knowest it dislikes me." He looked on her in silence for a minute, leaned forward across the board, his lips parted a little, and between them his breath coming and going, thick and swift.
"Well," he said, "sit there, an it like thee, madam, and manage my delights by stages. Last year the wide world betwixt us, this year the mountains, yestereve crethering walls, tonight a table's breadth, and ere night be done, not so much as—"
Gro saw the wild deer look in Lady Mevrian's eyes. She said,
"This is talk I have not learned to understand, my lord." "I shall learn it thee," said Corineus, his face aflame. "Lovers live by love as larks by leeks. By Satan, I do love thee as thou wert the heart out of my body." "My lord Corineus," said she, "we ladies of the north have little stomach for these fashions, howe'er they commend them in waterish witchland. If thou'lt have my friendship, bring me service, therefore, and that in season. This is no fit table talk." "Why, there," said he, "we're in fast agreement. I'll blithely show thee all this, and a quainter thing beside, in thine own chamber. But 'twas beyond my hopes thou shouldst grant me that so suddenly. Are we so happy?" In great shame and anger, the Lady Mevrian stood up from the table. Corineus, something unsteadily, leapt to his feet. For all his bigness, so tall she was, she looked him level in the eye. And he, as when in the face of a night-ranging beast suddenly a man brandishes a bright light, stood stupid under that gaze, the springs of action strangely frozen in him on a sudden, and said sullenly, "Madam, I am a soldier. Truly, mine affection standeth not upon compliment. That I am impatient, put the white on thy beauty, not on me. Pray you, be seated."
But Mevrian answered, "Thy language, my lord, is too bold and vicious. Come to me tomorrow, if thou wilt. But I'll have thee know, patience only and courtesy shall get good of me." She turned to the door. He, as if with the turning away of that lady's eyes the spell was broke, cried loudly upon his folk to stay her. But there was none stirred. Therewith he, as one that cannot command his own indecent appetites, or setting bench and board in eager haste to lay hands on her, it so betided that he tripped up with one of these and fell a-sprawling. And ere he was gotten again on his feet, the Lady Mevrian was gone from the hall. He rose up painfully, proffering from his lips a mudspring of barbarous and filthy imprecations, so that Laxus, who helped raise him up, was fain to chide him, saying, "My lord, unman not thyself by such a bestial transformation. Are not we yet with harness on our backs, in a kingdom newly gained, the old lords thereof discomfited indeed, but not yet ta'en nor slain, studying, belike, to raise new powers against us?
And above such and so many affairs, wilt thou make place for the allurements of love?
Nay, answered he, nor shall such a sapless ninny as thou avail to cross me therein. Ask thy little gamesome Sreeva, when thou comest home to wed her, if I be not better able than thou to please a woman. She'll tell thee. In the main season, meddle not in matters that be too high for such as thou.
Both Gro and the sons of Corund were by, and heard those words. The Lord Laxus schooled himself to laugh. He turned toward Gro, saying,
The general is far gone in wine.
Gro, marking Laxus's face flushed red to the ears for all his studied carelessness, answered him softly,
"'Tis so, my lord, and in wine is truth."
Now, Corineus, bethinking him that it was yet early, and the feast barely well begun, let set a guard on all the passages which led to Mevrian's lodgings, to the end that she might not issue therefrom, but there wait on his pleasure. That done, he bade renew their feasting. No stint of luscious meats and wines was there, and the lords of Witchland sat them down again right eagerly to the good banquet. Laxus spoke secretly to Gro.
I wot well thou takest in very ill part these doings. Let it stand firm in thy mind that if thou shouldst deem it fitting to play him a trick and steal the lady from him, I'll not stand in the way, aunt.
In a bunch of cards, said Gro, knaves wait upon the kings. It were not so ill done, and we made it so here. I heard a bird sing lately thou hadst a quarrel to him.
Thou must not think so, answered Laxus. I'll give thee still a Roland for thine Oliver, and tell thee, 'tis most apparent thyself dost love this lady.
Gro said, Thou chargest me with a sweet folly as foreign to my nature, being a grave scholar, that if ever I did frequent such toys, have long eschewed them. Only meseems 'tis an ill thing if she must be given over unto him against her will. Thou knowest him of a rough and mere soldierly mind, besides his dissolute company with other women.
Tush, said Laxus, he may go his gait for me, and be as close as a butterfly with the lady. But out of policy, 'twere best rid her hence. I'll not be seen in't. That provided, I'll second thee in all ways. If he lie here the summer long in amorous dalliance, justly might the king abrade us that, midst of the day's sport, we gave his good hawk a gorge, and so lost him the game.
I see, Gro said, smiling in himself.
Thou art a man of sober government and understanding, and thinkest first of Witchland. And that is both just and right.
Now went the feast forward, with great surfeiting and swigging of wine. Mevrian's women were there, much against their own good will, to serve the banquet, and ever fresh dishes before the feasters, and poured forth fresh wines, golden and tawny and ruby red, in the goblets of jade and crystal and hammered gold. The air in the fair chamber was thick with the steam of bake-meats, and the vinous breath of the feasters, so that the luster of the opal lamps burned coppery, and about each lamp was a bush of coppery beams like the beams about a torch that burns in a fog. Great was the clatter of cups, and great the clinking of glass, as in their drunkenness the witches cast down the priceless beakers on the floor, smashing them in shivers. And huge din there was of laughter and song, and amidst of it women's voices singing, albeit near drowned in the hurly-burly.
for they constrained Mevrian's damosels in Crothering to sing and dance before them, howsoever woeful at heart. And to other entertainment than this of dance and song was many a black-bearded reveller willing to constrain them, and sought occasion thereto, but this by stealth only, and out of the eyeshot of their general. For heavily enow was his wrath fallen on some who rashly flaunted in his face their light disports, presuming to hunt in such fields while their lord went still a-fasting. After a while, Hemming, who sat next to Gro, began to say to him in a whisper, "This is an ill banquet."
"Meseems rather 'tis a very good banquet," said Gro.
"Would that I saw some other issue thereof," said Hemming, "than that he purposeth. Or how thinkest thou?"
"I scarce can blame him," answered Gro. "'Tis a most lovesome lady."
"Is not the man a most horrible open swine? And is it to be endured that he should work his lewd purpose on so sweet a lady?"
"What have I to do with it?" said Gro.
"What less than I?" said Hemming.
"It dislikes thee?" said Gro.
"Art thou a man?" said Hemming. "And she that hateth him besides as bloody Atropos."
Gro looked at him a swift searching look in the eye. Then he whispered, his head bowed over some raisins he was a-picking,
"If this be thy mind, 'tis well."
And speaking softly, with here and there some snatch of louder discourse or jest between whiles, lest he should seem too earnestly engaged in secret talk, he taught Hemming orderly and clearly what he had to do, discovering to him that Laxus also, being bit with jealousy, was of their accord.
"Thy brother Cargo is aptest for this. He standeth about her height, and, by reason of his youth, is yet beardless. Go, find him out. Rehearse unto him word by word all this talking that hath been betwixt me and thee. Corineus holdeth me too deep suspect to suffer me out of his eye to-night. Unto you, sons of Corin, therefore, is the task, and I, biding at his elbow, may avail to hold him here in the hall till it be performed. Go, and wise counsel and good speed wait on your attempts." End of Part 1 of Chapter 24.